Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Text for today will be taken from our gospel reading in John chapter 7. Managing expectations can be a tricky thing. And after all, how many of you have had expectations that have not been met that have resulted in a disappointment? Dumb question, huh? We've all been there. We've all experienced that. We've all had those hopes just shattered when our expectations haven't been met, and we end up in disappointment. So the question then is, how do we manage those things? How do we manage the expectations of life? You know, and for some of you, just going to say, I'm not going to try to manage it. That's just life. That's what happens. I'm just going to go about my life, and if the disappointments come, well, then they come, and I'll figure it out when I get there. Others of you are going to say, I'm not willing to do that, and so you set expectations low. And so you try to avoid those disappointments. And you say, don't expect much of me, and I'm not going to expect much of you. And still others of you are going to say, well, I'm not going to live life that way. And because it's with expectations, with the high expectations that come excelling in life and bringing a lot of good things. And so I'm going to intentionally set my expectations high so that we're going to go for some things. But then occasionally comes the great crash as well. Managing expectations. Christmas time especially seems to be fraught with danger in this regard. You know, expectations can be so high in this Christmas season. The season just seems to lend itself to hopes and dreams and high expectations. And of course, what comes along with that is disappointments as well. Maybe that's why Christmas is so difficult for some people, because their expectations are so high, and when they're not met, is the difficulty of dealing with those broken hopes. Maybe there is some wisdom then in, you know, just saying, hey, let's make sure that we keep Christmas what Christmas is all about. You know, the coming of Jesus Christ and our Savior into this world, the coming of God's kingdom. And we try not to bring too much of the cultural baggage along with it. Maybe there's some wisdom in that. But beyond Christmas, there's also just very simply expectations regarding God and our relationship with Him and His kingdom being a part of our lives. You know, sometimes we have expectations of God or things that we project upon God. We expect Him to do certain kinds of things. And indeed, there too, when they don't happen, we can be disappointed with God, perhaps even to the point of being offended by God. So what do we do about those things? And very frankly, that's what our text for today is all about. It's about John the Baptist and his expectations of who the Christ would be. And yes, indeed, his disappointments. So as we read the passage, very quickly we understand that John has descended into a spiritual crisis. He's in jail. King Herod has put him there in jail because John has spoken out about King Herod's illicit marriage. He called him on it. And Herod didn't like it. So he put John in prison. He was kind of afraid of John, or at least the people, because John was so popular. They didn't want to cause trouble, so he didn't put him to death, but he did just leave him in prison. And while John's there, he's having a hard time because he's saying, things aren't adding up. This doesn't make sense to me, what's happening. And after all, John knew the prophet Isaiah, and Isaiah had said that when the Christ comes, that he would set the captive free, that he would release the prisoners. And John's saying, that's not happening. What's going on? Why isn't the Christ doing these things? Why am I here in prison? And again, he remembered that Isaiah said that when the Christ comes, that there would be a day of vengeance against the enemies of the Christ. The judgment would come. And yet, Herod is still on the throne, very much so, very much in power. What in the world is going on? What is Jesus doing? Why isn't he taking care of these things? And so John calls his disciples to him. He says, I want you to go to Jesus. I want you to ask him a question. Are you the one who is to come? Are you the promised one? Or should we look for somebody else? Did I get this whole thing wrong? Was I hearing wrong from God? And that Jesus really isn't the one, but there's somebody else. Go and ask him that question. And you can just hear the disappointment in John's words. His expectations about the Christ are not being met by Jesus. So what's John's problem? It's not that his expectations are too low. I think John had fairly high expectations. On the other hand, it's not that John's expectations are too high either, because we could very easily make the argument that he didn't have high enough expectations of what Jesus would do. That Jesus is really going to do far more than what John expected. But what's John's problem is that he has misguided expectations, unrealistic expectations. And so what he is thinking that the Christ should do, he projects upon Jesus. And when Jesus doesn't do them, he's offended, disappointed in the Christ. What John doesn't understand is, of course, God's plan for the kingdom of God and the expanse of that kingdom, and how there are two comings of Christ. And yes, at Christ's second coming, there is going to be that day of vengeance against the enemies of God. There will be that judgment. But that was not coming at that particular time when Jesus would come. When Jesus came, it was a time for grace and mercy. It's time for God to secure salvation, what Christ would do, particularly on the cross and in his resurrection. But you see, at this time, it was for mercy. It was not for that vengeance. And this is what John doesn't understand. He doesn't understand that time frame and the gap that's in between the two of them. And so because of his unrealistic expectations, you know, he disappointed at what Jesus is doing. So how does Jesus help John? Well, he just really says, John, look at what I'm saying and what I'm doing. Does it match up with what is prophesied in the Old Testament? As a matter of fact, let's just read how Luke relates this story, beginning in verse 20. And when the men, namely John's disciples, had come to Jesus, they said, John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, are you the one who's to come, or shall we look for another? And in that very hour, Jesus healed many people of diseases and plagues and evil spirits, and on many who were blind, he bestowed sight. And he answered them, now go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me. So Jesus basically sends John back to the scriptures. So take another look at what Isaiah said, and now take a look at what I'm doing. Do they match up? And of course the answer is yes. Jesus is doing exactly what Isaiah the prophet said that he would do. And so Jesus is pointing out for John his misguided expectations and saying, John, we need to tweak some things about what you're thinking about the kingdom of God and what you're thinking about me. Let's make that adjustment that you might understand. And so Jesus lovingly sends John back to the scriptures once again. And you see, that's what Jesus always does with us too, right? We have misguided expectations at times as well. But Jesus sends us back to the scriptures that we might get that adjustment. In his grace and his mercy to us, Jesus brings us to greater understanding of who he is and what he does for us. And so what are some of the things then we're learning from this passage? You know, how do we bring them forward into our lives? First, we recognize that we're not so different from John the Baptist, right? That's the person in the story that we can identify with. Even as we are followers of Jesus, just like John was, we can still have misguided expectations of God, of Jesus, and of his kingdom and our life in the kingdom. You know, I can hardly blame John the Baptist for that mistake that he made, right? You know, from his vantage point where he was, you know, it was very understandable the way that he interpreted things and that he didn't see that long time frame and the two comings of Christ. You know, we get that. And you see, the same thing can happen for us as well. And sometimes as we read the scriptures, we don't fully understand God and what he's doing and his kingdom and how it intersects with our lives. That happens because we are human beings. We live in a broken world. We are limited in what we can understand and what we see. And so, yeah, sometimes the same thing that happened to John the Baptist can happen to us. And maybe we do have unrealistic expectations. You know, we project on God what he should do for us in this particular circumstance. And it looks good from our vantage point, where we are. But maybe that's really not the best thing. Or it's not really what God had said that he would do. And yes, sometimes then we have disappointments. We're disappointed with God in what he could do for us and what he didn't do for us. But hopefully in these circumstances, we can do what John did. You know, that we go back to the scriptures and we come to God and we ask the hard question. You know, that was a pretty hard question that John asked God, right? You know, is this the one? Did I hear you correctly? What's going wrong here? Is Jesus the one, or should I look for somebody else? Of course, that's the right question. It's always the right question. It's the central question. Is Jesus the Christ? Is he the one? And help me to see more clearly, God, what your message to me is. So we are a lot like John, and we can learn some things from him regarding expectations. The second thing is, we want to see how Jesus responds to this. The great and blessed resource that God has given to us is his word. The word that tells us about himself. And that's where Jesus always sends us. Just as he sent John back to the word, he says, look at the word again, and now look what I'm doing. So too, God sends us to the same place. You know, when we are disappointed, when our expectations are shattered, we rightly run back to the word of God. We say, help me to understand this, God. Help me to understand better your plan and your workings in my life and in this world. I'm off a little bit here. And this is where God speaks to us. You know, life and faith are dynamic. And they keep changing. You know, and it's different for every person. It's different in different times of your life. You know, and so these questions about life and faith are continually going to be rising up. But because we have these questions and sometimes we have disappointments, you know, this is why God sent his son Jesus into this world. So that God Most High, the unknowable God, can be known to us. in Jesus Christ. You know, you want to know God, that's where you look. You look to Jesus because it's God in the flesh. And we get to know him. We see what he's like. We hear him speak to us. You know, and all of these things help us with our life and our faith and managing those expectations. And so it is that Jesus sends us back to us, to his word, always to his word. And the last thing he said to those disciples are the same thing he says to us. Blessed is the one who is not offended by me. Blessed is the one who's not disappointed in me and what I do. Blessed are those who are able to manage their expectations and adjust, recognizing their limitedness, their sinfulness, who come in repentance, seeking God's forgiveness, seeking God's understanding in his spirit. Blessed are those who are not offended by me. In Jesus' name.